Well, good morning to you all here at Covenant. My name is Jane DeFord, and I'm so pleased to be back here worshiping with you this day. I was going to spend just a little bit of time making sure that you understood the connection that I have with this church. My family and I were a part of this congregation from 1996 until 2002. And then I went to seminary. There was another parade that went to seminary from this church. There were four women, and I was one of those four. And this church was my sponsor. So I was here, and I had a little team that coached me through. And when I started preaching, I would stand over here, and Mary Carol would come up and push me all the way back up. She said, "No, you got to be behind the microphone." And it was very hard for me to do, but I somehow learned the lesson. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mary. So I was active with a youth group, and I was teaching Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and we just kind of joined in on all kinds of things. And you will hear stories throughout this sermon that have a message of remembrance, love, and much joy, as I recall some of these events as we go through. Our scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. And the text is going to offer us a format that Jesus often used. First, he would begin with a very important phrase that encompassed everything he wanted you to know and he was teaching. The second half of it would be a real live understanding of what was going on. He was going to teach you by example and put you in a place where you could understand what was going on. And then finally, he would pull it all together so that you understood that this was real-time knowledge. This is lessons that are applicable now, not just in the future, not just in the past, but for your life right now. And so we're going to work with that concept, and we'll start with our scripture, the first part. And I'm going to read from Eugene Peterson's copy of The Message. Now, some of you may know that Eugene Peterson was a brilliant biblical scholar. He had a church over in Billund, Maryland, and he was known for his expertise in Greek and Hebrew. And what he decided to do when he first started with that congregation is he wanted them to understand the scriptures from their point of view. He was rephrasing it and teasing it into a place that they could grab hold of it, and it became their own. Well, little did he know that over the years, he had several people that had been accumulating all of these gems. And before all was done, they realized that he had transcribed the entire scripture. And so what you hear from The Message is that transcription that he has done. So we're going to share those words today. We're going to begin in the 11th chapter, toward the end of that chapter. And it begins with Jesus saying, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely, lightly." This is the first portion of our reading together. May the Lord bless this word to our use, into our minds, into our everyday lives. Thanks be to God. Okay, now I'm going to start with an understanding that I have spent many years working with Presbyterian women. So many, in fact, that I can hardly remember when I started, but I think it was 1978. And since that time, I've been the study leader, I don't remember how many times. And in most cases, the material that we used was the Horizons study that was prepared for women, and it has always served me as a beautiful Bible study, and I've used it in multiple contexts, including regular Sunday school worship. I've done it for Lenten series. I've done it for Advent series. I've applied it in a thousand different ways, and we're going to do it again today. The study for 2022-23 is Celebrating Sabbath, and it's written by Reverend Dr. Carol Bechtel. And in following with the tradition of Presbyterian women, it is beautifully researched, painstakingly researched, and then achingly and beautifully presented in a lesson format for us. So I pulled some of Carol's things and combined them with some of my own studies. And I hope that you will find, those of you that are in the PW study group, you will pick up on some of the nuances that have already been presented to you. And you'll be able to carry them with you. The rest of you, blessings. Here we go. So how's your Sunday morning going? What do you think? Did it start off with cookies? Yeah, it's not a bad way to start your Sunday morning off. Cookies work. Not to mention the juice and the punch, and I think the choir was the host this morning. I thank you all for the goodies that you provided. I thank you for the context that allowed me to greet old faces, wonderful friends that I made so many years ago, friends that I've been in ministry with for all this time. And what a blessing to be able to be here with you all. We are indeed celebrating Sabbath when we come in this way. But you know, some of us are probably tempted to do other things. I think during COVID, we all kind of got into the habit of doing other things on Sunday morning. We might have tuned in to the online service or what have you, but there was a temptation to do other things. Maybe sleep a little late. Have a nice big breakfast at home. Maybe you really had a chance to read the Sunday paper in the morning and not at 4 in the afternoon. And any number of things that allowed you to go take a walk on a beautiful autumn day, get outside and enjoy something. And we spent a lot more family time, didn't we? Sometimes that was Zoom, but sometimes it was in person. And I was always thankful for some of those things. So as we've come back into worshiping in person, we had to not do some of those things in order to do this thing. And for some of us, that's gone well. And for some of us, it's been a little bit of a rub. And that makes it a little bit difficult for us. But I think that as we gather together, we have more agitation, less agitation, and more joy. I was listening to your bells. I love to listen to the bells. Patty's always done such a beautiful job directing the bells, and I had to sit out front so I could really appreciate it. You know, everybody said, don't you get to sit back there? No, got to be out front so you can listen. But when we are very engaged in our church work, we can find that we overdo, can't we? We say yes to too many things sometimes. In this message to you, in the very first part, Jesus says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I want to speak to you for just a minute about the concept of a yoke. Now, were we blessed that Joseph was a carpenter and then taught that trade to Jesus? Because here it all comes together in this little message. A yoke. Did you know this is a yoke, by the way? This is a yoke that's made for anyone who is in ordained service to the church. When a carpenter makes a yoke for oxen, it is fit specifically for that animal, specifically. Not like every oxen. They didn't go pull them off the wall. They made them. They measured them. They prepared them, especially for that beast of burden. It was to fit nicely between the neck and the shoulders. You wouldn't want it to rub too much on either direction, because if an oxen becomes ill, you may lose that oxen. You may lose the ability to provide for your family. You may not be able to do that field that you needed to do to grow the wheat or grain that was necessary for your family to survive. The health and care and well-being of the oxen was essential. And so, therefore, the yoke is so important.
So what about the yoke that you wear? Just think for just a minute, and you can pretend to lift it off your shoulders for a minute. Just lay it across your lap. Has it been chafing or rubbing in any way on your neck? Do you find that you go home with a headache? Or that you've got to go home, take a couple of Tylenol? Or maybe you've got to go reach for that gel stuff that you smear all over your neck or your shoulders to make your muscles feel a little bit better. I've got a whole bunch of that stuff. We do that, don't we? And sometimes it's because our yoke is a little ill-fitting. We've let it slide this way or that way. We've let it pull on us in a direction that it was not meant to pull. Take a feel for the tips of the yoke that you wear. Has a tip been chipped or broken off? Because all of a sudden you tried to pull a load that was too heavy or it was not balanced well. Your yoke is prepared for you so that the stress is balanced. You're not pulling one direction too much either way. We don't often let ourselves get to that point, but we do at church, where we've pulled too hard or we've carried too much of a load. We've said yes a few more times than we probably should have, and we notice that our yoke is chafing just a bit. Jesus reminds us that the yoke that he has fashioned for us is perfectly fit. It's okay for you not to be here every time the church door opens. All of us together make this light work. All of us together make this light work. And when I see some of you in the choir, some of you in the bells, I've seen people working with kids. I know that some of you are working so hard at the food pantry when you're doing your distribution out here. I know that I know there's more turkeys going on. I used to help with the turkey distribution in Coatesville. We did the Christmas thing as well. It was a hairy, crazy time, and we had grocery sacks full of stuff everywhere. And yet it was a time of joy. But you usually went home with a headache because it was a lot of work. Try to remember the balance of your yoke. Keep it that way. Keep it light. Know that there are many hands to help with the heavy work. All we have to do is reach out for them and see if they won't join us. So, are you tired? Are you? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Some of us are struggling. I'll be honest. Ever since COVID, we're asking questions that we've never asked before. Some of us are wondering, what direction is this church going? Do we need to go backwards? Do we need to reach back into our pocket and go back into the habits that we had early on? And I'll probably tell you no. This story is such a great example. Because Jesus comes into this doing a new thing. Jesus is doing a new thing. And he is doing this with witnesses. Now, generally, the witnesses were Pharisees. And not all the Pharisees were the same. Just so we're fair about this. But they were trying to save the religion that they knew. And they didn't know who this guy was. He was different. He was different. So let's think for a minute. If Christ is adjusting our working load so that the chafing and the pulling and the tugging will cease, then the same thing can be said for our understanding of the Sabbath. Now, I've already preached this once, but I told everybody there, I said, if you come to the second service, it's going to be a totally different sermon. And that's just the way it is. Because I had a chance to walk around the church, to sit and visit with everybody, and to draw up so many fabulous memories of this place and this congregation. And I want to think about it in terms of Sabbath. The author wants us to know that Sabbath is often, can be, by memory, a rule-bound event, one that had no joy. It had more rules than it had enjoyment. But I will tell you now that if you are engaged in ministry in this church, this is what you will find. No, you're not required to sit in the pew for hours. You're really not. You might find a kid crawling under the pews trying to get to somebody else in the back. My own child, as I recall, there was a lovely woman named Alice Rose Lovett. And Alice Rose was, she was up in age. But Alice Rose had 18,000 grandchildren. And she sat about halfway down the pews. This is at First Church in Austin. And we would sit up front thinking we could keep our daughter entertained and she'd watch and maybe pay attention to what was going on. You never knew. But we'd get up there and we'd stand up and we'd sing the hymn. By the time we sat down, that kid had disappeared again. She had not gone, she'd not run in front of me, and I knew what she'd done. She dropped down on the floor and she crawled underneath all those pews and she went back to where Alice Rose was sitting. And Alice Rose would just wave, and she had her arm around Carol, and she'd say, "She's just fine. Just leave her alone. She's just fine." And I'd look at her, and she is feeding lifesavers to this kid, just one after the other. And one time I asked my Carol, I says, what's the best part of service? And she said, "Lifesavers." And so, but you know, maybe it was lifesavers. Maybe it was crawling back to sit with somebody in that church, another congregant, a grandmother that was not her own, but one that she had adopted, and one that looked after her every time she came in the church. Alice Rose had a hug for her or a lifesaver. And those are her sweetest memories. What is it like when we greet children and we love on them here in the sanctuary? How can we make that to be the sweetest part of their day? How does that become joy? Because I'm telling you, there are churches that have made it not joyful and not fun. There was a time when you couldn't play outside on Sunday because it was family time and you were supposed to be inside with your family. And you know what I think of? I think about coming up here and being with the youth group. And we had so much fun. We might have been playing, as it got dark, maybe we were playing flashlight tag, anything. But we were having such a fun time. It was really a hoot and a half. And what about the rule way back when that said no dancing, no card playing, okay? Well, we played a lot of cards. And there was some dancing going on. And so I can't say that we held fast to that because the level of joy kind of went up with the volume of the music. And it was fine. It was fine. And what about those afternoons on Sunday? Well, do you know what I remember? I didn't go home and take a nap. We went out to the park. It was one of the county parks out past Coatesville. And we had the picnic and the softball game. Nash and I found ourselves walking around back there. I don't remember. It was last fall sometime. And it was like deja vu all over again. I said, "This is where we had that softball game. Don't you remember?" And Nash said, "Oh my gosh, we did. This is where we were playing softball." Those are the memories that you want to capture. Those are the joyful memories of worship and Sunday and Sabbath joy and Sabbath rest. But one of the things that we have learned during our COVID years was that there was never enough work time. We got into some bad habits with 24/7 staying at home working. And that has caused a little chafing with the yoke upon your neck. Your family time and your house time became your office time. And our space and use of space was a little bit confused and caused people some problems. For some people, it left us broken because we couldn't quite get it all done and we didn't know how to do it because we weren't in the usual way of doing things. So combined with the fact that you had a job to do and then work in with that, the fact that you had to do it in a whole different way brought all kinds of tensions to us. So let's read the rest of the story. We're going to come into it in chapter 12. One Sabbath, Jesus was strolling with his disciples through a field of ripe grain. Hungry, the disciples were pulling off the heads of grain and munching on them. Some Pharisees reported them to Jesus. Your disciples are breaking the Sabbath rules. And Jesus said, really? Didn't you ever read what David and his companions did when they were hungry? How they entered the sanctuary and ate the fresh bread off the altar, bread that no one but priests were allowed to eat? And didn't you ever read in God's law that priests carrying out their temple duties break Sabbath rules all the time and it's not held against them? There is far more at stake here than religion. If you had any idea what this scripture meant, I prefer a flexible heart to an inflexible ritual. You wouldn't be nitpicking like this. The Son of Man is no lackey to the Sabbath. He's in charge. When Jesus left the field, he entered their meeting place. There was a man there with a crippled hand, and they said to Jesus, is it legal to heal on the Sabbath? They were baiting him. And he replied, is there a person here who, finding one of your lambs fallen into a ravine, wouldn't, even though it was the Sabbath, pull it out? Surely kindness to people is as legal as kindness to animals. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. He held it out, and it was healed. Thank you, Lord, for the rest of this lesson for us this Sunday morning. So, did you find yourself in the story? Where were you in the story? Were you wandering along with Jesus, feeling the grain underneath your fingertips as you kind of went through the rows? Maybe pulling off here, a little bit there. It's kind of chewy stuff, but you know, it's okay. And you were chewing a few grains here and there. Or maybe were you one of the onlookers watching this parade saying, I don't know about this thing. I'm not so sure they're really going to do the right thing. This guy is just really, he's just breaking all the rules. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? Are you the one that said to him, is it right to heal on the Sabbath? Knowing there was a rule that said, no, you couldn't? Huh. Do you know what it's like to be broken? I do. Tell you a little story. Years ago, when we were working with youth group, and some of you remember, Kim might remember, we had a mission trip to Puerto Rico. And we had all these kids lined up. And everybody was excited. The church was completely behind us. We were going to go do some reconstruction work. There had been a tropical storm, and some of the public houses and regular homes were starting to fall. They needed to be braced up. And so we were supposed to help pour concrete and get some of these things back into a working order. And that's what we knew about it so far. So we loaded up all these kids. They had their work boots. We told them what kind of boots to get. And we found there was a guy that was a Church of Christ missionary that was going to help us do this thing. And so we got down there, and it was not quite the way we anticipated. As it turned out, the work crew was going to be roughly half of the number of kids that we brought with adult supervision. And I thought, well, what are the other kids going to do? And they said, oh, you're going to provide vacation Bible school for 55 kids Monday through Friday next week. And I said, what? Vacation Bible school? And I had nothing. I mean, I've done VBS, and I had an entire basement full of stuff to pull out, and you could put together anything at the drop of a hat in a good, well-prepared church. You can do it. It's not hard. But go to another place where you have nothing with you, and you're going to be in an outdoor, what they called a concha, because it was the covered playground that they had in Puerto Rico. And that's where those kids were going to be, from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, and it was our responsibility to see that they were taken care of. And I had all these kids. And I remember that day we raced to Walmart, whereupon we broke out two of our credit cards, and just got what we thought we could do, just some basic stuff to work with to do VBS. And we go back. Kids are having a good time. Our kids were having a good time. And all of a sudden, and the other leader had said, and Jane, you're going to do the VBS. I was like, why me? But anyway, okay, so I'm doing the VBS. Well, my head's already starting to click around and figure out what we're going to do. We got inside there, and I unloaded all of this material. And I had markers, and I had crayons, and I had scissors, and I had paper, and I had, you name it, I had stuff, glitter. You wouldn't believe the glitter. But I had it, and I was trying to organize it so I could begin to see what I could do for 5 days and make a progressive story out of it. And one of the kids came in, and I will never forget. I yelled at that kid. I was so angry. I said, to the tune, don't bother me. I've got to think about this now. I've got to figure this out. He was looking for food, of course. He was 14. He was looking for food. And I have never forgotten the look on his face when I yelled at him. To this day, I owe Alex a huge, not your pastor, Alex, it's another guy. I owe him a huge apology to this very day. At that very moment, I knew that I was a little broken. I had said yes, but I didn't know what I said yes to. It was a job that I thought I was well prepared for, but didn't know what the job was going to entail. Any of this sounding familiar? We've all been there, and we've all done that. The church can wound. The church can leave you with a lame hand. But what I want to tell you is that when you come into the circle of love and life in a congregation, Jesus is here, and Jesus will heal that hand. Every bit as well as helped me come up with what I was going to do with those kids for 5 days in the Concha in Puerto Rico in a language I didn't know. And you know what? It was fine. It wasn't just a little bit fine. It was filled with holiness. That's all because we knew that Jesus was there. Jesus, the one in this story that all these Pharisees had such doubts about. Jesus, the one in the story who's wandering, sauntering through a grain field, pulling grain off and eating on the Sabbath. Jesus, the one in the story that says, I have a story for you. I want to tell you about this. Jesus is here in this place. Don't ever forget it. Every time you walk in this space, it is filled with Christ. Absolutely filled. How we fit in here, I don't know. How could there be enough space? So let's think about our directions as we come into Sabbath on Sunday mornings. First of all, there's oatmeal cookies. Just keep that in mind. There's hot coffee and there's juice. But there are beautiful faces here welcoming you. There's a hug. There's a holy hug and a love for what's going on. We observe Sabbath not by putting it in a box and shoving a lid on top of it. No, we flip that off, empty the box out, and find that it's a circle of love. And that's what you're looking for. Let Jesus reach out and heal you as well. We keep our Sabbath. Put away your work responsibilities for a while. All of us that have to work from home. Put your cell phone to the side. Look up. See the faces that you love so much. And for heaven's sakes, laugh and sing. Go do something fun if you want to. Kick off your shoes and sit around in your sock feet. Whatever it is that gives you rest, know that it is a holy rest and one that you need very badly. Rest lets you recover from the week preceding, acknowledging the good and the not so good. It also lets you rest and prepare for what's coming up because you don't know what the week's going to hold. But having that rest on your Sabbath allows you to get there. It will do all those things. It'll keep you from burning up and burning out. Honor your Sabbath. Gather with friends and family. Hamburgers outside, doesn't matter. Tuna fish sandwich around the kitchen table. It's all good. It is all good. Celebrate that day and give thanks. Honor God and come ready to hear God's word proclaimed and at work in your heart, so that when you depart this place, you are ready with a smile on your face and a little light step, because you're ready to enjoy the balance of the day, the love that God has for you, and the fact that you don't depart this place alone. You depart hand in hand with Jesus Christ every time. So there you really are. That's the story of someone who's come back to see you, to fall in love with you all over again, to receive the love that you have given to me, that I will get to share when I get home, because my husband will say, "Well, who did you see?" And I will say, "I saw them all, and they send their love." That is what a congregation is. So bring a turkey, help with the distribution. If you've got time, maybe a day at the food bank might be a good thing to do. Listen into a Bible study now and again. See what this wonderful congregation has going that you can enjoy as well. It will bring a smile to your face, lightness to your heart, and a yoke that fits just perfectly. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes we're weary. Sometimes we're just so tired. But then there's you. You are the giver of all good things, including the rest that we need on our Sabbath day. We know that you are the Lord of the Sabbath. And we know we need to accept your invitation to come. Show us how to say yes to the Sabbath. Welcome us as we welcome others into that holy circle of rest and delight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.